Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Fish on a Hater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that can farm down an Azumarill with Incinerates. DeFi, how you doing?
That sounds terrible. I don't want Talonflame to be able to do that. Or Skeledirge, for that matter. But I'm doing good. I got back into the Go Battle League. We're in a new season. New exciting things. I've played 57 battles. Which isn't bad, because usually I just avoid the Go Battle League for the first week, but I actually played a little bit this time, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah, I've slowed down. I've taken my foot off the pedal just a slight amount as compared to previous seasons. So I usually, most seasons will just go all out, like give me all the battles, nom 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 nom. But already this season, there's been like a day that I haven't played, a couple of days that I haven't done all my sets. So I'm just taking it easy. We'll see how long that lasts.
We shall see, because we have a lot of new and exciting stuff this season. So let's go ahead and get into it. How was Go Battle League? Well, I can do mine real quick, because I didn't do a ton of battles. I've been really enjoying Dragonair, not the Shadow Dragonair, because that's not me and that's not my play style. I've been trying to play Clodsire a little bit.
Is this Great League or Retro Cup?
Both. I've been playing a little bit of both. Yeah, been some Swampert, and in either circumstance, I don't want to play Talonflame. I don't really want to play Skeledirge, because I don't like those long, fast moves. I feel like they're too, like, even though it's good, like, it's great, it's a great move now.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you overtap, you are so done if you overtap. Like, you can that'll cost you so many games, and I am like a chronic overtapper.
I completely understand. For me, it's like I've been on this wild journey when it comes to GBO, because at first I was like, no, this is like right at the beginning of when GBO was first introduced into the game. Like, I was like, this is dumb. This is not real PvP. I'm just gonna do random stuff and not take it seriously. And then I got to a point where I'm like, yeah, no, I actually care about this now, and I do want to try. And now I'm trying to reintroduce the fun side of it. So, like, I seem to be going back to only running things that I find fun, and Talonflame, I think, is one of them. So, like, it's different from at the start of the journey, because I'm still trying to be good, but I'm also like trying to find, I'm trying to basically have my cake and eat it too. I'm trying to run things that I find fun exclusively, while still putting together reasonably strong teams. So Talonflame with Incinerate and Fly, I am such a fan of the new move Fly. I'm also running Jellicent and Cradilli in the lead, because there are so many Waters and Talonflames in the lead that I tend to win lead quite a lot.
That's fair. There's so many Talonflame out there. I'm still getting hit by some Brave Birds, though. Like, it's not gone away. Brave Bird is still around. I saw a really funny meme. I think it's the one we mentioned last week, the one of like the Trojan horse from PB Poke, I think it was, where the Trojan horse comes up and it's showing like Talonflame running Fly, and inside the Trojan horse, Talonflame running Brave Bird. Like, that is definitely still happening.
Yeah. Yep. And that that provides an advantage actually to some fly users, because they're gonna be forced to, well, at least consider using a shield when they might not necessarily have to. The Brave Bird is still, like, fly does hit very, very hard, but Brave Bird hits a whole lot harder, and it can one shot a lot of things. Like a Swampert, for example. I think a Swampert will survive a fly, but not a Brave Bird. So they're kind of pressured very hard to use that shield after 3 incinerates, and then you hit them with the fly, and then you get back to another fly and 2 incinerates. It's beautiful.
All right. So is there anything, because we kind of had to rush, and I've gotten some comments, like, we had definitely had to rush last week.
were they all from me?
So we had to rush a little bit last week through the episode. We had 5 people and kind of a hard deadline that we had to end the episode at. So kind of had to rush a little bit. So we thought we'd slow down a moment. And Fish, if you want to open back up, like, the, if you want to open the blog post back up and kind of see what you, is there anything you want to add on to? Do you want to discuss more kind of your findings about the meta right now, what you're noticing now that it's had a moment to kind of breathe?
Look, there, to be honest, there is nothing I can think of right off the top of my head right now, but I'm sure these things will all kind of come to me as we are talking through the season, through the episode. One thing that I actually have just remembered is that we didn't predict this at all. I don't think anyone predicted this. New number one on the PV Poke rankings for Great League, Skarmory.
We definitely did not discuss that because they buffed Brave Bird, I think, was it 2 power? Like, they gave
not
it...
Not Brave Bird.
Or not Brave Bird. They gave Steel Wing.
Steel, like, Wing, yeah.
2.
Like, 2 extra energy per move or something like, and then, like, extra damage as well or something like that. But, yeah, now Skarmory PV Poke is recommending Steel Wing over Air Slash for Skarmory, which, you know, gives it some really nice coverage against, say, Carbink, for example, or just any fairy. Like, it was already pretty decent against fairies, but, you know, the Steel Wing being double super effective, you'll be able to just carve through all of them, even the Carbink, which, you know, is resisting all the flying moves.
Yep, and I love that it makes it, like, if you're running, like, a Shadow Victory Bell Carbink team,
Skarmory's shame on you.
Shame on you, and Skarmory's out to get you. And I kind of love that.
It is still, and so this is the other thing that I have heard talked about a fair bit, is the whole rock, paper, scissors of the season. And, like, we kind of knew this would happen. Like, it's there's been a lot of commentary on how last season's meta was very finely balanced, and, like, basically, we're going to have to face a choice. Either keep it like that forever or continue having seasonal updates and just face some of that balanced nature going away for a while. So, unfortunately, we have had to deal with that. There is a lot more rock, paper, scissors happening where it's just hard matchups that aren't super flippable. So, Skarmory being one of them, you know, it's going to just crush any grass type, but it's also just still got nothing against steels, for example. So that's something we have to deal with at the moment.
I agree. Are you ready to talk a little bit specifically? So we've had Open Great League, but we're gonna have and Retro Cup, but we're gonna have more Retro Cup this upcoming week, as well as the Open Ultra League. So if you're currently playing in the Retro Cup, you'll notice that no fairies, no steel types, no dark types. So if you want to avoid Carbink, you don't want to see Skarmory, Retro Cup's your place to be. And the PV Poke top 10 for the Retro Cup are Mantine, Arcdebax, XL Lickitung, Aurorus, which I have seen quite a bit, Shadow or Regular Dragonair, Frostlass, Shadow Golbat, Shadow Gligar, Jellicent and Pelipper. Pelipper has also been incredibly popular. Have you been doing more Open Great League or more Retro Cup Fish, would you say?
I've been sticking with Open Great League, but I have been hearing people talk about Retro Cup, and Triple Dragon is very popular. So I was on... I don't remember if I had enough time to plug this last week. Oh, yeah, that's right, because we had the Megapod episode, so I didn't get to. But I was on stream with Mama Climbs last weekend just passed, and she was running Triple Dragon in Retro Cup. It was Arctobax lead Dragonair, Shadow Dragonair, and Jangmo-O. That's the middle evolution, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in the back, and she was slaying. Like, there's so little to counter dragons. Like, Fairy's banned, Steel's banned, Ice is not banned, but what are the popular ices? We've got Frostlass, which, you know, all the dragons actually do quite well against Frostlass when shields are up, and Alolan Sandslash. Which, no, that's not allowed because that's a steel type. So,
Walrein,
Dugong, like, not super popular ones, not things you'll see very often. So, Triple Dragon, very, very solid team.
Yes. So, that could be something you choose to run in the Retro Cup. But let's say Open Ultra League is more your style. The PV Poke top 10 for the Open Ultra League is XL Registeel. Giratina, which has the leggies, has the little leggies. XL Poliwrath, which that's a thing.
Doesn't have to be two XL though. So a rank one. A rank one is level. Yeah, no, rank one's level 44. So it doesn't have to be two XL.
Yes. Affordable.
Affordable XL.
Zygarde Complete. Cresselia. XL Mandibuzz, Virizion, XL Pidgeot, Tapu Fini, and Kabalion. The big change, I would say for sure, is the Poliwrath being just shooting up in popularity, and that has a lot to do with Scald becoming a better move compared to before. I've been seeing a lot of Pokemon in both Retro Cup and the Open Great League that are running Scald because it's just so good now.
I actually attribute it a little more to Icy Wind being added to its move pool.
That too. Like that both.
That too. But yeah, like, yeah, but it's a combination. Really nice combination.
But not Bubble, because Bubble did get buffed, but you're still going to want to run the Community Day move of Counter on Poliwrath. Mm-hmm. So even though Bubble got better, that's not what you want. You want that fighting type damage. And it does so well against a Pokemon like Kabalion. It can do a little bit of work on Virizion. It's not going to win in Even Shields, I don't believe, but with Icy Wind, you can do that super effective damage because Virizion's a grass type, and that's something. By debuffing its attack pretty consistently, debuffing those ice, debuffing those leaf blades, yeah, you can do a little bit of damage.
Just do a little bit.
And of course, Talonflame is up there. Talonflame's next at 13. Like, of course, it's going to be popular. Also does well against Virizion, by the way.
Oh, yeah. The Virizion can learn Stone Edge.
Yes. So it depends on what the Virizion's running. A lot of people run Leaf Blade Sacred Sword on their Virizion. However, Stone Edge, very good. Stone Edge can definitely, if you want to have something against those flyers like Talonflame or Pidgeot, Stone Edge is great.
So that's Ultra League and Retro Cup. We have after that, December 15 to 22nd, Open Master League and Great League Holiday Cup. Holiday Cup is one that they do each year. Only normal, grass, electric, ice, flying, and ghost types are allowed.
And at number one in the Holiday Cup, Vigoroth with Rock Slide.
Let's go.
Number one. Let me see if I can go down the rest of this list really quickly. Aurorus comes in second place with that Weather Ball Ice and Meteor Beam. Meteor Beam being a really powerful charge move that also has the benefit of boosting your attack. Number three, we have Lantern. No surprise there. Dunsparce at number four. Magnezone at number 5, specifically Shadow Magnezone. Dubwool at number 6. Skarmory at 7. No surprise there either. Pachirisu being at number 8. It has to be XL, level 50 Pachirisu. It's a regional Pokemon found only in the northernmost regions of Canada. That's a tough one. I personally am not a huge Pachirisu fan. I don't get it, but I understand why people like it. Arctabax, a very good Pokemon. Dragon Breath, Avalanche, and Dragon Claw. And then number 10, Togedemaru, which I can get much more on board with. The problem I have with Pachirisu is that it only learns electric type moves. Both of its fast moves, Volt Switch and Spark. You'd want to run Volt Switch. And then it knows Thunder Punch and Thunderbolt and also Thunder.
I'm going to pull you up on that though, DeFi. Togedemaru isn't that much better when it comes to coverage. What are the only non-electric moves it's got? Felstinger and Gyro Ball.
Yeah, but at least it learns them, and you run, like, because it only knows those three moves, so you're running at least something else in
but
addition.
You're only doing any damage with the electric move. The only time
Wild Charge,
the only time Felstinger ever did damage was in Electric Cup against specifically Hisuian Electrode. That's it.
That's fair. But I'm saying I'm saying it's not like amazing, but at least it's a little better because it can at least learn something else.
And there have been certain metas where Gyro Ball is a preferred move.
Yeah, like you at least have options. But Pokemon that only have, it's kind of like, not Vaporeon because it can learn Last Resort. But what are some other Pokemon? Bellibolt. Like, it only has the electric moveset. When Pokemon only have that moveset, and I think even Glaceon, I think, is another one that, other than Last Resort, it only has ice moves. Oh, it knows Water Pulse now from the community day. There's one ice Pokemon where that's all it learns. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to come back to you. But I know there's an ice type, and the reason we don't use it.
Cast Form. Cast Form. Snowy Cast Form.
Snorri Cast Form, that's the one.
I think it might have had a water move added to it. No, it's still all ice. Oh, no, it knows Tackle.
You're not going to run... Okay, so at least it learns it. At least it got Tackle. But that's still not what you're going to run Powder Snow. I don't know. Like, that's my problem. We understand my problem. We know what my problem is with some of these Pokemon. Like, why can't you have movesets like Avalug? Like, Avalug, ice-type Pokemon, pure ice, but it knows Earthquake and Crunch. Yep. You have options. Body Slam. You have
a ton of options. Number 11 here, Skeledirge. It's recommending Incinerate, Disarming Voice, and Shadow Ball. What do you think about Flamethrower instead of Shadow Ball? Because we've got, like, a few normals, like, Vigoroth, Dunsparce, and Dubwool are in the top 10. And we've also got Magnezone and Togedemaru in the top 10, which, you know, Flamethrower will one-shot those. Like, would you make that change, or do you need the power of Shadow Ball against, like, a Lantern or a Skarmory? Oh, no, Flamethrower would be better against Skarmory.
It would be. I just feel like with this Pokemon, you're doing so much damage with the Incinerates alone that having the other move, like having another type of move, is preferable. Now, if it was like,
That's fair.
I'm trying to think, like a move that doesn't do as much fire type damage.
It knows
Incinerate
Crunch.
It knows. That's the thing. Like, I would argue more for Crunch potentially.
Yeah,
but even then, like, I still think Disarming Voice is great because you get to it so quickly. And there aren't that many normal types not that many normal types that losing Shadow Ball, like, Shadow Ball is a hindrance.
There's a few. There's also Obstagoon that's in the top 15.
Mm-hmm. But you have Disarming Voice and you're doing Incinerate damage.
And I'm just quickly looking it up. Disarming Voice and Crunch are actually exactly the same stats. 45 energy for 70 damage. Which means that you're not gaining... Because there's no Pokemon here that provide... Like, you're not getting any sort of typing advantage from running crunch against any of these Pokemon. So that tells me that you're better off just having Disarming Voice. And mm-hmm. if Shadow Ball is resisted, just throw the Disarming Voice.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call. Well reasoned.
That's what I do. I well reason
you
and
are
I
the
push,
voice of reason.
And I push the podcast along, gosh darn it.
The All scheduler right. and the voice of reason.
Yes.
Here's my card.
All right. But that is the Holiday Cup. It tends to be a pretty beloved cup. That one in Halloween, people tend to really, I feel like, enjoy a little bit more. So I'm excited to see how that all turns out. After that, we will have all open leagues peeking in. So during the holiday season here in the United States, we will have like that's going to cover Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So those are the metas you'll be looking forward to there. Then we have some in-game events, Fish, and I'm putting some Master League information in here. Reshiram and Zekrom are both in raids coming up here. Reshiram's in raids right now as we're recording, and then Zekrom is next. And they're both pretty solid in Master League. Like, if you need a Pokemon for the Master League and you don't know what to use, Reshiram actually pretty good. You need Fusion Flare as a charge move, and that is a legacy move. I don't think the ones right now have it. Mm-hmm. So be aware of that. You would have to use an elite charge TM. But Fusion Flare is a pretty good move, and then you run Draco Meteor as the, like, which is a self-debuff move, but does a ton of damage. So that's a pretty solid Pokemon. You're going to beat stuff like Metagross. You win against Ho-Oh because you can do Dragon-type damage to it. You win against, like, a Mewtwo, a Giratina, which is kind of crazy. So that's a really good Pokemon, as well as Zekrom. Zekrom actually a little bit better. It's slightly higher in the rankings with Dragon Breath, Crunch, and Wild Charge. So this is the one where you don't want the legacy move, or you don't need it as much, because you have that Wild Charge instead of Fusion Bolt. So the ones you're catching right now are just fine. Again, you're going to beat the Giratina Origin, which is kind of funny because it's a dragon type beating. Like, it's an electric type beating a dragon type. But since Zekrom's also a dragon, that helps it out a lot. You beat Mewtwo. Like, you've got all kinds of good stuff in Zekrom and Reshiram. So I'm going to be rating those a little bit. A little bit there.
How much XL do you have?
Not enough. Not enough.
How far off are you?
Enough. Like, a lot. Like, I don't know what you want me to say, Fish.
I was wondering if either of us are at, like, anywhere close to being able to build a legendary for Master League.
Okay, well, the thing is, I can. Like, technically, I could build right now, if I wanted to, a Rayquaza.
Okay.
However, both, I have one 98% Rayquaza, and its stats are 14, 15, 15. So it's not the functional hundo, which makes me a little hesitant. So it's always going to, like, lose the mirror. I think there are certain breakpoints you miss. So I'm a little nervous, but I could. Like, if I wanted to right now, I could build Rayquaza.
Okay, yeah. I'm excited to hear that, whether you do or don't end up doing it. Because you've got to also have other Pokemon to go with it, too, which is the problem. So tell me about this Along the Roots event, DeFi.
Along the Roots, we mentioned it a little bit on the show last week. It is the event that takes place from Tuesday, December 5th to Friday, December 8th. So it is one of those events that only takes place during the week, which is rough for a lot of people. I know personally, I do most of my Pokemon Go playing on the weekend because right now where I live, it is currently getting dark at 4:30 p.m. because we're in winter and it's cold outside. So if I'm going to take the time to, like, play, it's going to be at, like, noon on the weekend when it's at least light out. But so that's my qualm with it, that I don't get an opportunity to play this weekend. However, it's a pretty solid event. Half hatch egg distance when eggs are placed in an incubator during the event. I love half hatch, and you get triple XP for spinning Pokestops 5 times if it's for the first time, and double Stardust when opening gifts. We're PvPers, we need Stardust. So those are some of the bonuses. And of course, shiny Hisuian Sneasel is amazing. Like, throwing that out there. But taking a look, so the spawns in this event, not a lot stands out to me from a PvP perspective. From the spawns specifically, you've got Wulu and Pommy, which I personally am after the Pommy because I'm building something silly, which is the middle evolution Pommo. Will max out to right around 1500 when you best buddy it. So I'm doing a silly. But other than that, like, the Wulu is really the thing that stands out to me. Of course, we've had some off metas where, like, Milotic or Swoobat or Hitmontop becomes, like, really, really good. Or Emolga. We saw the Spice Master Magmar Man run Emolga in a Play Pokemon tournament in Toronto, but it's not your core. I would say Wulu's the most meta pick out of all the spawns. In the eggs, Hisuian Sneasel, but you would want, I don't think you can get that even into the Great League if you hatch it from an egg. So not a lot there. Unless you're a shiny hunter, kind of like me, I'm looking for the Sneasel and the Growlithe yet. Field research task, kind of the same thing. Hatch an egg, trade a Pokemon. Trade a Pokemon, I think, because in the field research tasks, I think they're at level 15, right? So those you should be able to get. Those, I think, might go to 1500 because they'll be down a few levels. But also, because, yeah, they're not in the wild. Hisuian Sneasel's not in the wild for this one. So there's that. But I don't know. Like, do you see anything in there? Because I'm not, like, you can get Stardust for things.
I mean,
the half-hatch egg is cool.
Like you mentioned, that Wulu is just like, for me, like, guess what?
What?
No, I mean, you meant to guess, but I, yesterday, the day before, caught a Hundo Wulu.
Nice. I have one of those too.
Oh, dude, let's go.
I got it at, I think it was NAIC last year. I have, his name is Mac. He is a hundo traded to me from Gabby Snyder. It was a lucky trade we did.
Oh, that's so cool.
So that's not the perfect Ultra League Wulu. That one, like, isn't the rank it? One. The rank one is 14, 15, 15, technically. I think really? The hundo is rank two.
Well, that's gross. I was sure that it had to be hundo.
Yeah, it is. I literally, the rank one is 14, 15, 15. It is one of those that is super, super close. Technically, but obviously, like, I have a lucky hundo, I'm gonna build the lucky hundo.
Is that as a best buddy, like, 15 as a best buddy?
I don't think so. So I think, hold on, let me find out. The 14 15 15, yes, it is as a best buddy. So the hundo is the non-best buddy.
Cool. Okay, that makes me feel
number
better.
One. Okay,
because I wasn't gonna best buddy it.
Oh, see, I best buddy all my, like, if I have to build something up to 50, I try really hard to best buddy those things. Get the candy.
I guess I do have to have 10 best buddies for my goals that I set on last week's podcast.
And why wouldn't you want to walk a cute little Wulu?
I guess.
I walked Mac, my hundo. Like, it's best buddy. And then I also have the 14, 15, 15 from Yokohama. I caught it, so I'll have to. Maybe I'll build both.
I need a name for my female Wulu. I'm also thinking we could pop my female Wulu in with your male Wulu and have little hundo babies.
Yes. Wouldn't that be great if that's right? How that works? Okay, so you need a nickname for a cute little sheep.
Listeners.
Yeah.
Send us suggestions.
Mary from Mary Had a Little Lamb.
So what's the thought behind Mac? Mac and Mary.
Oh, I just asked Gabby to name him.
And she didn't give an explanation, just like, oh,
I think,
sounds cool.
I think
this syllable
because,
sounds good.
No, I think it's because her dog's name is Cheese. And I think Mac is Cheese's brother. I think Mac is like a relative of Cheese.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
But yeah, there's a lot of, like, you could do something really cutesy, like Cupcake.
So I could name my Wulu Cheese.
You could name your Wulu Cheese. We could have Mac
and
Cheese.
Yeah.
All right. Let us know. Let us know, listeners. What should he name his Wulu? But moving on. So again, that event doesn't really speak to me, especially since I won't be able to play it a lot. We also have Catch Mastery Ice, which was the information was released shortly before we started recording. definitely after I wrote the notes. That is only on Saturday from 10 to 8. I have less of a problem with this because I have the type of work schedule that allows me to play on Saturday. So 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. local time. Snow Runt. If you want a Frostlass for PvP, this is your time because Snorunt and Bergmite will be appearing more frequently in the wild. And I think Avalug has some kind of like niche play somewhere in the Ultra League and Master League. I would have to look. Like, again, not a super popular meta pick, but you never know. And it's got some stuff. We mentioned it earlier. Like, it's got a great moveset. And then Cryogonal.
Master League Premier.
Okay.
In particular.
Well, we hope that comes back. So, Field Research, Cryogonal, do not worry about it. You can go shiny hunting for it if that's your thing, but
You know what? Cryogonal is one of those things that it's like, it can take someone off guard. That's the way you say it, right? Because it's got some decent moves and decent... Yeah, catch someone off guard, not take them. No, you're not taking them, you're catching them. It's got some decent moves with its Ice Shard, Night Slash, Triple Axel, and that's it. And some decent bulk as well. So, like...
But its fast move sucks. Like, Ice Shard... Oh, I guess Ice Shard's not that bad, but it's...
Yeah, Ice Shard's good.
It's spammy, but it can't really hit hard with anything.
Yeah, neither can Lickitung, but it's one of the best Pokemon in the game.
Bulkier, though.
It's bulkier than Cryogonal. I'm just making the point that, like, it's it doesn't hit super hard, you're right, but so I'm basically making the case where it, because I have lost to some Cryogonal in the past in, like, limited metas.
Pick maybe
not even drafts, I don't think, but in those situations that was before it had Triple Axel. I haven't faced it after Triple Axel. So what happened was they would maybe build up a whole bunch of energy with Ice Shards, bait with a Night Slash, cause me to shield, and then hit me with a Solar Beam afterwards,
which is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I had to really work to see the funny side of it.
Oh, I mean, that was... I'm never going to forget getting beaten by a Spinda, so...
Yeah, that's right.
So, the other problem with Cryogonal is it's a pure ice type.
Yes.
Which means it doesn't have... Like Avalug, which, again, is probably part of Avalug's problem. But Hisuian Avalug is part rock steel, ice. I think? Rock ice?
That's rock, yes.
I don't know. Yeah, there, I feel like there's... I was going to say, like, I feel like there's got to be a case for Hisuian Avalug somewhere. Oh, yeah, in the Master League.
Yeah, yeah.
Open Masters. It's definitely. But the regular Avalug, again, it's when you are just a pure ice type, you're weak to fighting fire, rock, and steel. And you don't have any, like, stab, same type attack bonus moves that you can rely on other than ice. So those are a couple of its issues, I would say, for Cryogonal, but all goes to say not super important. Its shiny isn't even that great. It's just a lighter blue.
If you miss out, that's fine from a PvP standpoint.
I want the Bergmite, the yellow snow Bergmite. I want it. I want it very badly. So hopefully I will catch one. I will be doing this event.
A yellow snow Bergmite. Is that just a Snorunt?
No. Look at Bergmite's shiny. It's literally like the snow part is yellow. Like the part on the bottom.
Oh, the part on the bottom. Right. Hang on. Looking it up now. Bergmite.
It looks like someone peed on it. Like
or it like stepped in pee.
Or it stepped in pee. Like, I want it though. I'm a fan.
I was hoping that the whole thing would be yellow, because then like you wouldn't be sure whether you're looking at a shiny Bergmite or a Snorunt. You like you try and catch a Snorunt. You tap on the Pokemon, you think it's a Snorunt, and then you're like, wait.
All right, the other event from a PvP perspective we want to cover is Adamant Time. So kind of a plug on the Timeless Travels. We're going back in time to Kanto, like it's 2016 all over again. But we can, you know, do routes and parties and whatever, showcases. So Kanto event. I'm in favor of doing things like a Kanto event because even though fish, because we are the minority fish of people who play this game. People log in every day and engage with all like all these different features. Most people play very casually. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of casual players out there who have not finished their Mew research.
Yeah.
Where you need to complete your Kanto Pokedex. So giving people an opportunity to catch something like a Krabby, which I don't know about you, but like I haven't seen a Krabby in a while, like Goldeen. Like these are some Pokemon that aren't necessarily super common to catch. And, you know, if you're old, like if you're casual player, it might be hard for you to accrue the candy for those things. A Ditto event, like making sure people have Ditto. Yeah. I think it's great. So I'm a fan of featuring Kanto Pokemon for that reason. Some of the featured Pokemon, Vulpix is really good for Ninetales and then Alolan Ninetales. You can get candy for it. But I think Vulpix is probably one of the stars of the Kanto event, as well as you can get candy for the three Kanto starters, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle. That's mostly it. We can use Voltorb often in like a Electric Cup or... I believe it's actually pretty good when they do Kanto Cup sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There are some opportunities. I think we saw a Sea King in Gdansk. So Goldeen is out there. Dratini, obviously, for Dragonite. Dragonite, one of the best Pokemon, I would argue, in the game because it can be used at multiple levels. And then Snorlax is a great Pokemon as well, appearing in 3-star raids. But I would say those are kind of the main points. And there's other, you know, benefits. They have a catch-up time research focusing on XP for people to get Stardust and get rewards for leveling up. And timed research on adding friends to get XP and Stardust and things. So good bonus, good stuff. I'm a fan, just not a ton from a PvP perspective. But that not everything has to be for us, Fish. It's okay.
I beg to differ.
it doesn't have to be for us. I like this as an event for people to finish some old research tasks and just catch up on XP. Great. 10 out of 10.
So that's our in-game events, and that means we're up to the Play Pokemon section, which, DeFi, you will have to remind me last week, how much of this did we cover? Did we, like, at least mention the winners?
I'm not sure, so let's pretend we didn't. Brisbane, I know we talked about very briefly because we were running short on time, but Jakubowicz won the OCIC champion, taking first in Brisbane, running that Shadow Dragonair and then a Shadow Kanto Ninetales. The rest pretty meta, Lantern, Medicham, Superior, and Umbreon. And please note that these two tournaments took place before the moveset updates. Mm-hmm. So we won't dive too much into teams and things because things have certainly changed. However,
although I will say Dragonair and Fire still a good core.
Yes.
Like there are certain typings that just work really well together. I think a lot of us know Dark and Poison are really compatible, really symbiotic. Water and Ice, I think, work quite well together. And also Dragon and Fire, I think, are a very nice combination.
Yes, I would tend to agree. And this was a 33-player tournament. Shout out to Zoe Two Dots for entering the tournament and kind of pushing it to that. I think that was kind of a break point, quote unquote, for getting championship points. They needed that many players. I think we mentioned that last week as well. So yay for Zoe Two Dots for playing and registering. We appreciate you. Stumpy2517 got second place running that Carbink, you know, the dreaded Carbink, as well as a Frostlass. So, you know, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. Lickitung, Medicham, Registeel, and Swampert. It was a really stacked tournament, honestly. Rick Flareon, Valiant Vish, Fishy Legs all showed up. Meezer put on quite a performance, tying rank 9, doing quite well with a Mantine.
And her only two losses were both to Jakubowicz.
Yes. And she, the first game might have gone differently had she correctly registered all six of her Pokemon. But since she did not register...
I'm super impressed with it. Like, Misa is someone who, you know, I've known her for a while, being in the Australian scene, and she's someone who has always been so passionate about the game and always such a great attitude about, like, wanting to get better at the game. And in particularly in Play Pokemon tournaments, the results haven't backed up the effort that she's put in, and I know she's been very disappointed about that. So I'm really, really pumped for how well she did this time around, because I think now she's starting to really get that return on investment.
Yeah. Again, more shout outs. There are so many good players who showed up to this. Ball Basher God, PvP Steve showed up running a Dusclops because he did. Debbie Pebble. Because he's Steve. And then, yeah, Debbie Pebble coming in as well. We obviously know LF Kamala. We had on the show last week, Lachlan entered and had fun. So huge shout out to all of our Australian players. Really excited to see, you know, how your region, the APAC region, progresses this season.
I was so jealous, DeFi. Just like seeing all the updates in like various servers and on Twitter, I was like, oh yeah, man. Like, I saw Arrow on Twitter mentioned this is the most hype top four in any regional this season, and we're not getting to see it because it wasn't streamed, which was like a big deal around the community. And I was like, I should be in that top four. That should be my spot.
All right, you got a couple more opportunities, Fish, this season.
I do.
But before we continue talking about the rest of the season, we have to go back to Gdansk, which had a great tournament as well. This one was stacked to 116 players in Poland. That also was over that Thanksgiving weekend a couple weeks ago. And we had great players, but congratulations. Huge, like, this, the top three here was crazy. Potomon, Tonton Padoose, and a Mind Joke, but the championship goes to Potomon from Spain. Did a fantastic job. Shadow Alolan, Ninetales, and Lickitung, two of the standout picks. Also Gligar, Medicham, Umbreon, and Venusaur. Tonton Padoose, a fantastic player as well. That's the Sea King that we saw, which didn't really make too much of an appearance. I saw the Arctobax quite a bit more than I did the Sea King, as well as Clefable, which was fun. Defense Deoxys. So a really, really fun team from Tonton Batuus. A Mind Joke and Palasha ran the exact same team and took third and fifth place respectively. Medicham, Pelipper, Purified Sableye, Shadow Alolan Sandslash, Superior, and Shadow Steelix, rest in peace. That was kind of Shadow Steelix's last hurrah before Breaking Swipe was nerfed. I don't think we'll see it again. Cactus, taking fourth place, did really well. And again, huge names. Stone Collection, Arceus Aurelius, Nickname, did really, really well in this tournament. Statusan took ninth place. Just a ton of people, yeah. Like a ton of these big names here. Scafo, Colin. So many.
But that was the last two tournaments for that meta. We now have a new meta, and the first time we will get to see this meta in action is in Stuttgart, Germany on December 9th and 10th. So probably like underway by the time this episode comes out, and all eyes will be in Germany for this tournament, because this will be where we get to see the new meta crystallize.
Other quick thing about Gdansk, though. Though Technical made his casting debut.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Incredible. That was super cool. It was cool to see. I think they did a set of Though Technical and Martine together, which was lovely. Lou did a phenomenal job. So did Koning Lionheart. Great casters. Great team. Very excited to see more of Though Technical back from retirement and into casting. Love to see it. Very good job. I really enjoyed seeing his debut.
So after all of that, we have upcoming San Antonio, Texas, December 15th to 17th. 100 people registered for that at the moment. Portland, Oregon on January 5th to 7th. 47 currently registered for that. Charlotte in North Carolina. I keep like hesitating, like it's North Carolina? North Carolina. January 19th to 21st. 37 registered for that. Liverpool, I don't know what American state that's in, is January 27th to 28th. 92 people registered for that. And then we have just opened up registration for Knoxville, Tennessee, and Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, February 2nd to 4th and February 3rd to 4th.
Have you registered for Melbourne?
Well, okay, so my information is that as of this recording, it's not opening till tonight. But,
well, that's why, like, as of when you hear this podcast, it's open.
Yes, so, yes, but I'm 100% registered.
Yes, okay, but will you be registering for Melbourne?
Credit to use as well now.
Excellent. So you will be in Melbourne.
Yes.
Fantastic. We will be rooting for you. And then Dortmund just released, or Dortmund is the next one. I don't think they've released when the registration will open, but that will be the next one to come up for EU after Liverpool in January. And that will be February 10th to 11th. And I think that's it for February, because Utrecht is in March. Mm-hmm. And the next one after Knoxville is Vancouver, which is at like the end of March. So,
okay. So a bit of a gap.
Bit of a gap in February and March. So we'll get a little bit to see the meta develop further. Because, yeah, then Perth isn't until April.
April, yeah. Not much in Latin America.
No, I'm hoping that more will be announced in Latin America. Because all we've had is Curitiba and then LAIC in terms of regionals, but I'm hoping more will be announced. I believe, did Latin America recently get their local Go challenges? Yeah, LATAM got their Go challenges. So working on it at a local level. Also EU, I believe, like Fish, I have faith that you will be getting locals as well. I think it's just you're kind of last on the list, but I do believe that they are coming.
Do you think that would happen this season?
I'm hoping. I'm hopeful for you that locals happen this season.
That would be nice. Like, if I could play, if I could somehow manage to play 6 Go Cups and 6 Go Challenges and win them all, what's that? Winning 6 Go Cups, I believe, would get me the required points to qualify for Worlds anyway, wouldn't it? Because it's 50 points per win. And I've got, look, I don't want to talk myself up too much, but I think I've got a pretty, like, I think it's reasonable to expect to win in South Australia. Like, there's not too many people that put as much of their lives into this game as me.
So are you calling yourself a big fish on a heater in a small pond?
Yes, yes, I can do that.
All right, well, I'm hoping for you. I'm hoping for locals just so all the different regions can have them. I think I've been seeing a lot of Twitter posts of people at the European regionals, at the North American ones for sure, and people seem to be really excited to do them and getting just that last little bit of championship points. We saw Rise to Occasion recently got championship points, enough to qualify for Worlds. Nighttime Clasher recently qualified based on championship points, getting them from locals. So a lot of really good things, and a lot I'm excited to see more and more people qualify. So I hope that comes to you soon in APAC. And with that, Fish, I think it's time to reach in to that burlap sack for some mail.
Did that leather bag not arrive? I definitely sent you a leather bag for the mail to come in because it was our 3rd anniversary. That you never got that, did you?
No, I did not get a leather bag. I'm patiently waiting on the United States Mail Service.
So last week, of course, was our Megapod episode, and that means we didn't get to get around to our mailbag, and that means we have more of a backlog than we normally do. So I just wanted to give a quick thank you for being patient for all those people who had sent us something a month ago, and we're only just getting to it now. Don't worry, everything that is sent to us, I do mark out, and I do put in chronological order so that we can get to your mail. So this first one was written in on November the 16th, and it comes from Garden of Eyes.
Garden of Eyes writes, "Hi Fish and DeFi. Just writing in to let you know that I continued using Subat successfully in Great League and reached a record high ELO of 2415 and tied my longest streak of 10 wins in a row. There was even one match where Subat soloed the whole enemy team. I believe it was Medicham, Venusaur, and Shadow Machamp. That's amazing, first off. Congratulations. We're glad Swoobat is working for you, because it's not necessarily, I think we mentioned it earlier, it's not, you know, the most meta pick, but it definitely has niche play. And if you're facing Medicham, Venusaur, and Shadow Machamp, Swoobat's going to wreck. Like, it's going to go hard. So very congratulations on the Swoobat running successfully in Great League. And 2415 is awesome. You are almost at veteran.
Yeah. I remember the last email that this trainer sent in. They were talking about, like, yeah, I want to use Swoobat, but, like, I know it's not meta. Like, should I? Shouldn't I? And we were like, mate, if it's working for you, absolutely go for it. So they're following up on that, and they're like, yep, it is still working for me. And yeah, like, getting to 2415, that's amazing.
But anyhow, I was wondering how Yinz would feel if they were to implement permanent unranked open, great, ultra, and master leagues alongside whatever ranked league is currently active. That way you can still battle and test team comps without needing to a friend to battle or having to risk dropping rank if a league you aren't confident competing in is currently active. Maybe these battles could still count against your battles for the day. That way you literally aren't tempted to battle all day long. I would personally love to see how many mons would do in ultra league, but seeing that I'm at a record high elo right now, I don't want to jump in and risk losing all that progress. But I'd still like to do my battles for the day. I don't think they'd ever implement that, but I think it would be pretty dope. Anyway, love the show. Thank you for your time and wisdom, Garden of Eyes. Formerly redacted. I changed my player name since I last wrote in because a friend of mine heard the episode and pointed out to me that I was basically doxing myself, lol. That's
so
fair.
Now Garden of Eyes.
Garden of Eyes. Welcome in, Garden of Eyes, the Swoobat user. So, first off, I would love a casual, because I started... Okay, so the short answer, Garden of Eyes, yes. 100%, I'm all in on an unranked league. I have been playing and enjoying a little bit of the TCG, the trading card game, live for Pokemon as the app. And I still think it's funny how people online complain about this app and how bad it is. But those aren't Go players. I think we... Like, I've sturdied myself from dealing with Go over the years that I'm like, this app works fine. What are you complaining about? Sure, there are problems, but not those kind of problems. But there are two leagues in the TCG. You have ranked, where you climb a ladder, and casual, where you don't. And there aren't, like, the rewards for casual, but you can just play and not get the rewards as much. And it's fine. Like, you don't get, like, there's more rewards for doing ranked, and that's fine. But I liked that I could learn a deck and how this deck works in casual and then step my toe in the water over in ranked. And I'm kind of over the deck I built, so I'm going to build a new deck and I'm going to try it in casual first and then try it in ranked. And I love that. And I wish we had it for Go. I'm very adamant about this, that we should have a casual mode of play. End rant.
All right, do you need help off that soapbox, or you're right, you can step down yourself? Or...
I've got little legs, so it's kind of rough. It's a big jump, but I think right,
here, I'll be here with you, here if you need me. Ready?
Oh.
Good job. I'll change it just a tiny, tiny little bit. Instead of unranked, I think it would be more appropriate to have a league where you still have a rank, but your rank doesn't change depending on the results of the battle. Because, well, my thought process is, if I were to jump into completely unranked casual battles, there's a fair chance that I will... I'm picturing it's basically early season battles where... like, you might match against someone who's using a 1200 CP Croconaw, and I just absolutely wipe the floor with them and discourage them from wanting to keep playing in future. So what I would want is for the quote-unquote unranked battles to be connected with what my current elo is in my ranked battles, so that when I do step into the casual battles, I'm still matched against someone who is theoretically at a similar skill level.
I think that's fair. And I don't think that changes. I think that's just an added caveat. I don't think that changes the main idea. Would you still love a casual component to GBL?
Personally, look, I don't know if I would spend the time battling without the allure of trying to hit that goal of ranking up, but I have heard so many people talking about it that I'm on board with the idea for those people. Like, I want them to have their unranked league.
I know. Gardner-wise, I just completely agree. I would love to just play some Ultra League Pokemon, see how they work, and not have it affect my ranking.
It would be good for testing teams, but I've personally found other ways around that. Like, we've got our scrims function in the Discord server where, you know, if someone wants to test a team out, they can tag other people in the server who have the same role, and like anyone who's available, you can, you know, throw down against those people.
That's great. And that's awesome that as a community, you and others have found ways around that, but we shouldn't have to. It should just be part of it is part of this TCG game. I love that I can just switch tabs and it's ranked. Now it's casual and I get to pick. And
Totally.
All right. But Garden of Ice, thank you so much for bringing that up. I will stand on that soapbox any day.
That just helps you off.
Yeah. But I will get back whenever you want. I'll get back on. All right. Baby Eevee also wrote in on November 18th. Fish, what does Baby Eevee have to say?
Baby Eevee, and I also want to thank Baby Eevee specifically because Baby Eevee also sent another email just today. And like, we hadn't even gotten to their previous email. So thank you for your patience, Baby Eevee. But Baby Eevee says, hi there, Fish and DeFi. This is Baby Eevee. I've been listening to the podcast for a while and wanted to get some advice on a moveset for the Beedrill that I use in Great League. I'm currently running it with the fast attack Poison Jab, and it knows the charge attacks X-Scissor and Felstinger. I have this one specifically for Halloween Cup, but I would like your opinion on how to make it a good all-around Great League Pokemon. Cheers, Baby Eevee.
Well, I'm sure there's a trainer out there named Evan, 777 something, lots something of sevens, something. 13, who famously ran Shadow Beedrill in the first NAIC that we ever had and did quite well, making a day two performance. So Beedrill is definitely a fun Pokemon to use. It does have its issues. Generally, in the open Great League, you would want to run Poison Jab, X-Scissor, and Drill Run, which is just a little bit different than what you have. You would need to use a Elite Charge TM to take Felstinger off and to put Drill Run on would kind of be the major change I would see there that would help you quite a bit. And it does great against a lot of things. Like, Beedrill is going to beat a Medicham generally, Superior Venusaur, Azumarill, Sableye. It does really well against some really great meta Pokemon, especially as a Shadow. I think it drops Sableye for sure once it's a non-Shadow Beedrill. But you pick up, you lose some things, you pick up some things. They're both fine. However, it has some really important losses. There are some Pokemon that it just can't really work around that makes it really tough. Gligar is really, really popular right now, and Beedrill can't do a thing against it. Like, it almost is completely walled by Gligar.
I see when Beedrill win.
I see when Beedrill win, exactly. Something like a Bastiodon with Smackdown. All your Mud Boys, including like a Mantine, Pelipper, like a lot of water is going to do pretty well. Some of those powerful water types, it's going to hurt pretty hard. But again, it does have some solid wins. Stuff like Venusaur. That Poliwrath that we've been talking about is so good. It beats Poliwrath. So definitely something you could try running. It just isn't like it has more significant losses than I would say significant wins. There are more Pokemon that it significantly loses to that are popular right now than the ones it wins against. But that's no reason not to give it a shot.
I think that Felstinger is particularly useful when you're running Shadow Beedrill, because the Felstinger is a very low damage move, but it guarantees a one stage boost to your attack. So after throwing a Felstinger, those poison jabs can do a lot of extra work. Like, for example, I believe there was a time where Shadow Beedrill could beat Noctowl in the two shields or something ridiculous like that. Or maybe it was the two zeros or something. Well, no, it's I don't think it mattered whether the Noctowl shielded a Felsinger or not. But yeah, but like getting multiple Felsingers off allowed those poison jabs to do so much damage that you would just manage to overtake the Noctowl with those, which is throwing those super effective wing attacks. So like that very, very potent there. On the regular Beedrill, I don't think you're getting as much benefit from that. So I would highly recommend, if you do have an Elite TM, getting that that Drill Run instead of the Felsinger, like DeFi suggested. Other moves it's got are Aerial Ace and Sludge Bomb. And I'm trying to think like what combination of those moves might be viable if you don't have the Elite TM.
That's a good question.
I feel
like that would take a little bit of research on our part.
My gut says that it's like... my gut says the Beedrill is just not that great without the Drill Run.
Yeah, you're going to just... The Drill Run you need so you can hit back against something with steel types.
Yeah.
Like, without Drill Run, it's just hard, I think, to do anything to steel types. If you don't have an Elite Charge TM and you absolutely cannot get Drill Run on the Beedrill, I would say Sludge Bomb would be the better choice. Like, okay, out of all the other things, I'm going to advocate for Sludge Bomb. I think that you're going to get more damage. I think you're going to be able to hit with same type attack bonus. You're going to be able to hit a few more things.
And then X-Scissor?
And X-Scissor. Like, you would keep X-Scissor, I would get rid of Felsinger and use Sludge Bomb instead. That would be my personal recommendation if you don't have an Elite Charge TM, but Elite Charge, like, Drill Run's better. Drill Run is certainly better, but Sludge Bomb, I think you can still do a lot of that damage. You're just, if you up against, like, any steel type, your Skarmory, your, even with Drill Run, Skarmory's not a good matchup, but...
No.
Like, you can't hit a lot of things then, and it's tough.
All right, so hopefully that helps, Baby Evie. Thank you for writing in. The next one was on Discord and comes from Sarah Law, and it was sent in on November the 19th, who says, "Hi there. My son, account name Conlory, is an avid listener to the show. He's loved playing Scarlet and Violet. In particular, his favorite Pokemon from those games is Tinkaton, a steel and fairy type. He was wondering what you think about this typing and this Pokemon. What could it do to the meta with a good moveset? Thanks, and may the leads be forever in your favor. Hashtag hammer time." I don't get that, unfortunately.
Well, Tinkaton has a pretty fantastic, like, hammer that it uses.
Oh, okay, so... sure. Yeah, that's my lack of knowledge of the main series games coming
Tinkaton.
Into effect.
Tinkaton's so cool, and in its Pokedex entry, it hunts Corviknight, which is bound to be a really good Pokemon when we get it as well. It's a big black steel crow, and it's funny because the shiny of Tinkaton, its body is completely the same. The only thing that's different is its hammer is now the color of shiny Corviknight.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so cool. I love, like, Tinkaton's such a sassy Pokemon. I love her. So good. However, Tinkaton's not in the game yet, so we can't know for sure what its moveset is going to be. And it could be so far down the line that the moves are completely different. Like, we could have several moveset updates before we see Tinkaton. But I agree. It's awesome. I love, love this Pokemon. I'm so excited for it. But based on what it can learn in the main series games, we can look at its main series moveset, because generally the pattern we've seen in Pokemon Go is a Pokemon has to be able to learn the move in the main series game. And Tinkaton can learn some pretty great moves in the main series games. Like, it can learn Fairy Wind, which is pretty fantastic. It can also learn stuff like Flash Cannon, Play Rough, Brutal Swing, maybe... a little bit of something, something, I don't know, Heavy Slam. It can learn a lot of really interesting moves. And as a fairy steel type, it's just going to be something different that I think could do quite well. Fairy steel, you're going to be able to rock Carbink's complete world. Like, Carbink's going to have a problem against you.
Rock its world.
And stuff like, you know, Alolan Ninetales, you're going to crush it. Cresselia, you're going to crush. It would do really well against something like a Sableye, Umbreon, Mandibuzz, like all those dark types in the meta. I think even though it's a steel type, because it's also a fairy type, I think Medicham would be either a little neutral or the Tinkatunk would win it pretty, I would say pretty evenly.
I actually think that it's going to do quite well against Medicham because it's got some bulk. Like I'm just doing some Googling here because we know what stats each Pokemon will have because they all have like the same formula applied to them based off of the base stats that they get in the main series. So like we already know that information and it's got similar bulk to a Jellicent, very similar bulk to Jellicent, for example. So imagine a Jellicent level bulk Pokemon that's resisting the psychic and the ice punch from Medicham and then probably able to throw back fairy moves as well. Like if the Medicham has dynamic punch, that does make it a little more even, but I still think the Tinkaton would be able to handle the Medicham quite well.
All right. I'm sold. I'm excited. I'm ready for it. Like I'm ready to give me a Tinkaton. I'm all in. You don't have to sell me any further.
It's basically like a steel Mawile. I'm going to continue selling. I'm selling past the close here. But it's basically like steel. It's basically like a bulky type Mawile.
I like it. I'm in. So yeah, Jellicent. I'm looking. I'm sorting Great League by stat product. So same bulk as like a Jellicent. A Greedent. And Greedent is quite bulky. Pretty similar in bulk to Medicham, honestly. Like it's not off.
Because so, Medicham is past the... Yeah, Medicham at rank 1 has a stat product of 2110.
So within range, maybe a little less bulky than Medicham, but it's got the bulk. So I'm anticipating, though, I don't think Medicham's going to be running Psychic for very long. I think it's going to be on that dynamic punch.
Yeah.
So that could change things a little, because that will be doing neutral damage to Tinkaton. But again... It could be a long time before we see it. I hope we see it sooner rather than later because it is such a fun Pokemon. Mm. It makes me happy.
And a really nice typing. I like that typing.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's cool. I think it's cool and I'm excited for it. So Sarah Lore, thank you so much for writing in. We appreciate it. And Fish, how about we do one more?
So this next one comes from Chris and Carl's favorite listener, Drew Two, and it was sent in on the 22nd of November. Drew2 says, hi DeFi and Fish, I've got a couple of ideas to throw out there and I'd like to hear what you think. First, I know everyone complains about Boom Burst, but I actually think there haven't been enough Boom Burst updates. What if, stay with me here, Niantic slightly buffs Boom Burst every single season, either reducing energy cost or increasing damage, until something that has the move becomes relevant. How broken of a move would Boom Burst have to be for Noivern, Exploud, or something else to become meta? Second, every time I hear talks about debuffing Medicham, it's always about counter. I'd like to know what would happen if Ice Punch was debuffed. If the energy cost was raised enough, it wouldn't be used as a bait move and wouldn't be nearly as effective against flying and dragon types. What sort of move stats would Ice Punch need to have to significantly affect Medicham in the meta? Lastly, as the listener who suggested one move away, I thought it was great and would love to see it become a regular segment. Keep up the good work. Sorry for the long email. Drew 2.
Hey, Drew 2, I'm really glad you liked the one move away. We had a lot of fun with it too.
Yeah, totally.
So I think on a week, again, where we have maybe a little less Go Battle League or like play Pokemon, the official championship series takes a little bit of a break, which it will be pretty like through a lot of February. I like the idea of bringing in some different ideas. And that was a fun one. I'd love to do that a little bit more often. Now about Boom Burst. So that was, I like the one move away segment part. Boom Burst, I'm not so sure. Because it's not necessarily, like Boom Burst would have to be pretty busted for it to become meta. Because those Pokemon that you mentioned, Noivern, Exploud, they have other, Boom Burst isn't the problem with those Pokemon.
Yeah,
they have other
Boom
problems.
Boom Burst is actually a good move already. Now, it's still very high energy cost. So I consider it to be like a Hyper Beam, but it's like less energy than Hyper Beam. Same kind of damage, I think, off the top of my head. I think that the key to making Boom Burst relevant is not to make Boom Burst itself better, But the Pokemon that use Boom Burst need to have a good bait move. So I think with something like an Exploud, it's already got Astonish, which is a good fast move now. It's got Boom Burst. Maybe if it had something like, I don't know, my go-to idea for when I'm talking about bait moves is like Weather Ball or a Surf or something like that. If it had something like that, a 35 or a 40 energy move to Burn Shield so you can get that Boom Burst and land to the Boom Burst, especially with, you know, same type attack bonus being on a normal type, I think that's the key.
Yeah, I'm looking at Noivern right now. Noivern's current move set is... It does have Boom Burst, like, as a recommended, but its other moves, Hurricane, Draco Meteor, Psychic, and Heat Wave, those are all high energy cost moves. If it had, like, Dragon Claw or pre-nerf Breaking Swipe, something quick that it could bait with, I think the problem is the word is inflexible. The word that we want is inflexible. These Pokemon, because they really only have those high energy moves, they're slow and inflexible. That's what it would need. It's not Boom Burst is not its problem. It has other issues. Yeah, like, I'm down. Like, Boom Burst kind of became a meme. I would be down for something to learn Boom Burst, like a Noivern or an Exploud, to have something good. I don't know, like, for Flygon is another Pokemon that can learn Boom Burst. I don't know how broken it would have to be for it to beat out Dragon Claw and Scorching Sands. And for Komo-o, it would have to somehow be better than having close combat in Dragon Claw. And yeah, I don't really see a non-stab move, something that those two Flygon and Komo-o specifically would, like, it would have to be pretty busted because close combat and Dragon Claw get that same type attack bonus. So the moves do more damage because they match Komo-o and Flygon's typing. Exploud would benefit from, you know, having a move like that. Yeah, to start. Also, fast moves too. Like, Exploud, Astonish, and Bite. They're moves, but they're not great.
but they're not moves, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they're not the greatest.
So there you go. You had your own little personalized one move away segment.
Congratulations, Drew, too. Let us know if you enjoyed that one as well. The last point you brought up was about debuffing Medicham, which did end up happening because of the psychic nerf to Medicham. But now you're just going to see more Medicham running something like Power Up Punch or Dynamic Punch in its moveset. Probably more likely Dynamic Punch. Ice Punch, I don't really know. Ice Punch could be debuffed, I guess.
I can see that, yeah. Because
it would affect Shadow Alolan Sandslash as well, though.
And I don't have a huge problem with that. So if it was just my 45 energy.
I love how your voice went like, I don't really. It's okay. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But again, like, the punch suite of moves are pretty common. I'd be nervous that if they debuffed Ice Punch, they'd nerf all of them. Like, Electric Punch and Fire Punch as well, which might affect a few more Pokemon, but that's fine. Like, Hypno's not really in the meta anymore anyway.
Hypno can take a further beating. It's not like it's important or anything.
Yeah, but then we could see, like, Focus Blast, Shadow Ball,
ooh, yeah,
Hypno, or Future Sight Hypno.
Ooh.
Like, let's let's make Hypno as inflexible as possible by only giving it the nukes. I'm into it.
I'm hearing is Psycho Cut Hypno.
Ooh. Okay. So that's interesting. But yeah, just to finish out the point, I'm not sure. Same kind of thing with that happened to Psychic. If Medicham just doesn't use Ice Punch anymore, we'd maybe just see more Power Up Punch, Dynamic Punch Medicham.
I think maybe adding 5 energy to Ice Punch would have been nicer than dropping the damage of Psychic by 10. Like, I would probably opt, if I had the keys to Niantic, I would probably opt to undo the Psychic change and then make that change to Ice Punch. And I think that would do a little more to curb Medicham's influence.
I don't know.
But that is just speculation.
It's all speculation. I don't know. I just feel like we're like then Medicham's just going to do the work with Dynamic Punch. I'm not sure.
We've been talking about how like having access to a low energy move is so important in making a Pokemon good. Like the reason Noivern
Power Punch, Dynamic Punch,
Power That's the Punch,
set. All fighting. Oops. All
so,
fighting.
But okay, but then that severely limits its playability.
True.
Like it does what you want a fighter to do, but it doesn't have. And like if it's running the all fighting moveset, it's got nothing against Azumarill. It doesn't beat any flyers. Like it doesn't have the coverage against fairies. Like the cover, I say coverage, like neutral coverage, but like
Psycho Cut, Dynamic Punch, Power Up Punch, Medicham.
You'd run Psycho Cut with Power Up Punch?
I'm kidding. I'm like, how do I give it? Because it does. That's the only moves it learns. So no, I would not run Psycho Cut with Power Up Punch. That would be silly.
Psycho Cut, Dynamic Punch, and Psychic is a fun moveset.
Yes.
Not recommended, but fun.
Yes. Those are two different things.
All right, so that's our mailbag. Let's move on to the achievements. We like to celebrate the achievements of players in the Pallet Town server, which is one that I run, and the GoCast server, which we're all a part of together. So Pallet Town first, we have OSnap103 and Teaspoon. Both completed their Go Battle League timed research, getting their 500th win last season. Coup de Grace hit Expert, Colectanto hit Veteran, and OG Blastoise posted this in the channel, but I don't think they were necessarily like saying, look at this achievement I made. They were basically like, made a peak of 2965 this season and then failed to get the 5-0 that I needed to get me over the line in my last set of the season. So it was kind of like a lamentation more than a celebration, but I thought I would shout them out anyway, because like 2965 is still quite an achievement. In the GoCast server, we have Mahalo High, who reached 5,000 Great League wins, and Clifton hit their Master League goal for the year of 3,500 wins in that league, in Master League. So well done to all of those people. DeFi, do you have anything to plug?
I do. I started streaming a little bit again, and I am dedicating the month of December to raising money for Doctors Without Borders, which is a phenomenal organization, nonprofit charity that works on doing humanitarian aid, giving humanitarian aid all around the world. There are so many countries and so many places where getting good healthcare is just not a thing. It is not accessible. Especially in places that are war-torn right now, and they do a lot of fantastic work. So I am raising money in honor of them. I will put the Tiltify link in the show notes for my fundraiser for the month of December for Doctors Without Borders. There's some fun little rewards in it. Like if you donate $5, I will add your name to a digital thank you wall. If I'm streaming and you donate $15, I will eat a Bean Boozled jelly bean, and those things are dangerous. Just lots of fun little things for you to donate and some rewards you can get. You can also donate without selecting any rewards, and that's okay too. And that's kind of the main thing. I'm really excited. We've raised $635 so far in December, which is fantastic. We had some really fun milestones that we hit. For example, I'm going to do a Discord movie night coming up here. My original goal of $500 we met, and I did Roll for Pizza. If anyone's familiar with the TikTok creator who does Roll for Sandwich, he makes a list of all the sandwich ingredients, rolls these Dungeons and Dragons multiple sided die, and you know, he lets RNG decide what his lunch is going to be. I did that with pizza. I listed all the different things and I numbered them and rolled dice, and I had an RNG pizza because we raised $500 and I ate quite a bit of it on stream. It had cheese curds and tater tots on it.
Being a content creator is fun, isn't it?
Yeah. We get to do some cool stuff and
raise money for charity and eat a pizza. What could possibly be wrong with that?
I mean, it was weird. Fish, it was a weird pizza. Because it had Alfredo sauce, but also buffalo sauce on it.
I'm not hearing anything I disagree with.
And I'm just glad that the place I was ordering from didn't have like anchovies on it. It had some like I avoided. There were like some pickled vegetables that I think would have been not great. It could have been buffalo sauce on the whole pizza, and everybody knows I'm not a huge fan of spicy, so that would have been really hard for me to eat.
When I was in Italy, I ate a pizza with pickled artichoke on it, which was really nice.
Maybe if it was just pickled artichoke, but it would have also probably had some weird, crazy cheese curds and stuff on it. And I don't like it was strange. It was a strange experience, but I did eat the slices as promised. We have some other milestones coming up, like me doing a 12-hour stream, doing a playthrough of the game Celeste, which I think would be really fun. It's a fun platformer game. Another milestone out there, if we really knock it out of the park, is I will create a new cosplay like I did for the Toronto stream for Halloween. I did the Karen cosplay from Pokemon Johto. I'll pick a new one and make a new really good cosplay and do a stream with it. I think that would be really good. So lots of fun stuff up there. So be sure, click in and donate. That will redeem. There are some rewards from the Tiltify that you can be redeemed on stream, but there are things that you can get off stream as well. So tune in. Be sure to follow me on social so you know when I'm streaming for this.
That's super exciting. I look forward to seeing how the rest of the month goes for you and for your campaign. And that's it from us. We love hearing from you. If you have any questions or suggestions for myself or DeFi, you can direct that to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail or physical mail to the GoCast PO Box. Take a look at the show description for the phone number and the PO Box address in the show description. You can also click on More Fish or More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And also don't forget to have a listen to the other two shows on this feed, the main GoCast podcast, to get the news, tips, and community you need in the world of Pokemon Go, and the newest addition to the family, Star Piece, where Chris and Lachlan recently interviewed David Hernandez, aka Hamtaro, from As the Pokeball Turns. And we'll see you next week.
Bye!